What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Hot Shots. I'm JD. With me always is Houdini and Deepaw. What's poppin', boys?
How you doing?
Yo, what's going on?
All right, moving on into trending now. The biggest lie America has ever told has broke the news this past week. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you probably heard about it this week. The 2006 classic movie, The Blind Side, the story we all know and love about the Tuohy family adopted Michael Orr, a down-and-out kid, and set him off to a path to play football. The real Michael Orr went on to play offensive tackle in the NFL and even won a Super Bowl as part of the Baltimore Ravens. Well, that story's all a lie. The Blind Side subject and former NFL star Michael Orr has released a statement after he has filed a legal petition to terminate a conservatorship in which he alleges Leanne Tuohy and Sean Tuohy lied about adopting him while making millions off of his name. How crazy is that?
You know, like I said to you before, I guess I'm just a little confused.
I have more. Don't worry. I have a little bit more to tell you. So this all started back when Michael Orr committed to Ole Miss, just like in the film, to play football. Sean Tuohy, who is the father, was questioned in the recent news breaking about the legal action being taken against him. And he said, Michael obviously was living with us for a long time. The NCAA didn't like that. They said the only way Michael could go to Ole Miss was actually if he was a part of the family. We contacted our lawyers who told us that we couldn't adopt anybody over the age of 18. Michael at this time was over the age of 18, and the only thing that we could do was to have a conservatorship. This is the same thing that happened with the whole Britney Spears thing that happened a few months ago. So Orr alleges in the petition that the conservatorship papers that he wound up signing instead gave the Tuohys total control over Orr's ability to sign contracts. His files claim that the Tuohy family falsely and publicly represented themselves as his adopted parents, which led to the story depicted in the book and the movie, which is now we know is not true. And this is the best part. The Tuohy family was paid $225,000 apiece, plus a 2.5% of the film's proceeds of the Blind Side film in residual checks, while Michael Orr didn't receive a penny.
Okay, so if all of that is true, then he has a legitimate case, but like, it's like the statute of limitation, you know what I mean? Like, I'm at the point where I don't really give a shit, so I don't know why it's coming into, like, why it's surfacing now, as opposed to when the movie came out.
So Michael Orr has said that he discovered this information this past February in 2023 while having like a conversation with his family. I guess the information might have slipped. I mean, the only thing that I keep thinking is like, imagine not having a family your whole life. It was really upsetting. The movie's great if you haven't seen it, but like, and then getting adopted in this sort of like Cinderella story. And then it's all a lie. Like, these people never adopted you. They lied to you. They made money off of you. Like, I feel bad for Michael Orr. Yeah. I mean, could we never... I mean, it just tells you we can never have anything that's good. Anything that's good will always get ruined in this world.
Yeah, I think it's big if it's true. Like, because the conservatorship, like, if that's good-hearted and, like, you know, obviously the dad had, like, a rooting interest in him going to Ole Miss. And, like, clearly they cared about the kid because they took him in. But if there's like money that they hid and they did it shadily and like that is true, then that's pretty effed up. And if they, you know, what the residuals are off that movie, like you said, Jedi, it's a pretty popular movie. Like I see that on TV quite a bit. Like there's probably a decent bit of residual checks coming from that. You know, Michael Orr made a ton of money, relatively speaking, in the NFL. But still, like, the dude was robbed of a lot of money, especially, you know, that movie came out in 06. Like, so that's a long period of time. We're coming up on 20 years for that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how you're not aware of that sooner. You know what I mean? Like, with lawyers involved and all that stuff, I don't know how you're not made aware of that sooner.
But yeah, like I said,
it's going to make a great Lifetime movie.
A Lifetime movie now? Blind Side Part 2?
For sure. Called The Blind Eye. Now I get bang.
Well, now it's really The Blind Side, if you really think about
blind,
it.
Yeah, blindsided.
Oh. Yeah.
There you go. We get residual checks now for the idea of the name of the movie. The
for
sequel.
Sure. Dude, if Blindsided comes out, I'm suing.
But in the end, though, Michael Orr, I do hope that you get what you deserve. If this is all true, I feel really bad because I've watched that movie countless times with my parents, and it's one of my favorites. So really upsetting to hear that it's not true. But let's change the gears, though, and go talking about the Atlanta Braves. Hotlanta, they have right now a stat similar to a team that everybody would probably want to be. Murderers Row, the 1927 Yankees, Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig. I mean, the Braves right now have the same WRC plus as the 1927 New York Yankees, which is 125. Now, I know some of you out there might be wondering. I was going to say, I know some of you might be wondering, what is WRC plus? Well, WRC plus takes the statistic runs created and adjusts that number to account for important external factors. For example, like ERA, ballpark.
What are we talking about?
Can I explain? I'm just explaining what it is.
Like, this Harvard nerd comes up with this stat, man. Like, come on, man. Sorry. Go ahead.
It's adjusted, and it starts at 100, which is the league average. So for an example, if it was 150, that would be a 50% above league average. Right now, the Braves are at 125, so they're 25 above league average, which is equivalent, like I said, to the 1927 Yankees team, which, if you did not know, won many championships years on later, including that year.
Yeah, I just, like, I don't know, man. Like, I'm just so old school. You know what I mean? That, like, I don't look at those stats and find value in them, right? Like, what do I see? I see they're 34 games above 500, and they have a 201 run differential. You know what I mean? Like, that to
That'll
me...
That'll do it.
Wow.
Like, that's what I see. I also see they're 38-20 at home, 38-22 on the road. Like, they're a balanced team. Like, those are the numbers that I see, right? And, like, they get a slapdick schedule with the Yanks coming to town. So, like... You know, God knows what that score is right now.
Not too pretty.
Yeah, shocker, because we started Severino. This is a Tuesday night, by the way. Hate to spoil it for everybody. But, I mean, Jesus, man. The Yanks are on the verge of dropping to below 500. God knows how long. I don't like the stats. I really don't.
I think one of the cool stats I saw about the Braves, though, not one of those advanced stats, just basic, was like how many runs they've scored in the first inning, like compared to the rest of the league. And it's like they're like 30 more runs in the first inning than any other team. Like, it's insane. They get on you early, and then the pitching staff goes to work, and you're done.
Yeah, I mean, just what the Braves have done this year is just absolutely unheard of, and it's really cool to watch, just not against my Yankees. It's very depressing. But not too much of something to talk about. Something I quickly wanted to mention because I thought it was cool. A fan vowed to name his daughter after Mookie if he hit a homer. You want to guess what Mookie Betts did?
He hit a
homer. I don't know. I thought that was pretty cool, man. I mean, that guy, honestly, too. We were talking last week about Matt Olson, Ronald Acuna, Freddie Freeman. He's having himself an MVP season, too. He's definitely going to be in the top four with them. It's just going to be curious to see what comes down to the wire and who's going to actually take it. I actually think right now Freeman kind of stole it from Acuna.
Yeah, I still think it's Acuna's to lose. But once again, you bring up a very great point, right? So I've always looked at the MVP, and we've discussed this before on this podcast, is how do you measure an MVP? And I've always said an MVP should be the most valuable player to their team, right? So, like, if you took Freeman off the Dodgers, would they still be above 500, probably a playoff team?
Probably.
Right? If you took Acuna off the Braves, are they in contention still?
Oh, 100%.
Right. So it's like in that case, it's really, really tight. Right. But I just, like, you've seen it in the past with other athletes, with like LeBron, for example. You take LeBron off of a basketball team, like, it's insane.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So I thought he should have deserved every playoff run they had. He should have been the MVP. But in this case, I think both of them are very, very close in who wins it. And I think it might be the tightest race we've seen in a while.
Oh, yeah. Completely agree. Moving on into football, though, Dalvin Cook, he signed a one-year deal with the New York Jets, 1,000 rushing yards in the past four seasons. Now they have Hall, now they have Cook, so just another weapon added for Aaron Rodgers. What do you guys think about this?
I think it's a home run signing, very little upside, you know, $8 million. We've seen what the running back market has turned into. I think Saquon signed like an 11-year mil-a-year deal. So, like, to get Dalvin Cook a stud, yeah, he's had a little bit of injury history with the shoulder, but it just, hypes the flames even more, man. Like, this is going to be such a fun year because either way, the Jets are either going to win and Jets fans are going to be insufferable and it's going to be hilarious to watch, or the Jets tank and they go just absolutely nosedive and watch the Jets fans implode. So I think it's going to be it's a great signing, and I think it's going to be a great year too.
I'll be completely honest. Didn't even know he was still a free agent, and don't even understand how he still was a free agent. I think he's that good when healthy. So I do think giving Rodgers that weapon, because he's not really great out of the backfield. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's good at like screens, but yeah, typically not like a true route runner out of the backfield.
Yeah, like he's not great there, but he's definitely a power back. You know, so I do think it's a nice 1-2 punch.
Yeah, with him and Hall. Yeah,
with Breece and Hall, Breece Hall and Dalvin. To kind of finish my thought with the Jets, have you been watching Hard Knocks?
I have not. I'm going to, though. I will do it. I just have not.
Did the second episode come out?
Tonight, because it's Tuesday. But, dude, Rodgers has been great.
Yeah, I like the first episode, yeah.
And the fact that, like, Schreiber?
Yeah, Liev Schreiber, yeah.
Like, the fact that Liev got there, that's his first one he's ever been to. I kind of vibed it.
It's the voice of God.
Yeah, it's the voice of God. But look,
go talk to him. Go introduce yourself.
Oh, yeah, that part was hilarious. But dude, like, look, Sal is good. But last year, with that grit grade,
yeah,
and Dan Campbell,
yeah,
it's not close.
Yeah, Dan the man. I'm full. Yeah, it's about the Jets, but watching that got me so hyped to play for Dan Campbell. That's why I went with the Lions, baby.
Yeah.
Just curious, just a yes or no, because I don't want to get into a discussion with this, but Dalvin Cook going to the Jets, does that change your guys' power ranking at all? Do they jump up a little bit with that signing, or no?
I mean, maybe a little bit. I think I had him in the honorable mention, you know, probably like 7, 8. Maybe they jump up a spot, but it's still all hype. Like, you know, I don't think it catapults them up, you know, upwards of teams that have done it for 3 or 4 or 5 years. So, you know, maybe a little bit, but no, nothing too substantial.
Yeah, they're probably stuck at my 7.
Cool, yeah. And if you want to go check that out, last week we did our power rankings for the preseason. You can go check that out on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Right now, though, we're going to do another blind resume. Not MLB. This time we're going to do NFL. Ooh. I'm going to give you guys a few stats. You have them in front of you. Just a reminder, this player is active, okay? And the comparison person for this is Julio Jones. We're comparing this person. These two people have similar stats. Player A is Julio Jones. Player B is the blind resume that we're going to try to guess. Games played. Julio Jones has 155. Player B has 145. Receptions for player B is 853. Julio Jones is 903. And then the last one I'll give you is catch percentage. They're both at around 62%. Do you guys have any guesses on who this could be?
Yes, and we were talking before the podcast, and Dino and I both said the same person right away, which kind of makes me think that it isn't him. But we both said Travis Kelce.
That is incorrect.
Really?
It is not Travis Kelce. I will give you another hint.
I just want to know one thing. Is it a tight end or a wide receiver?
If it's not him, then it's got to be wide receiver.
Yes, it is. This person has played for two teams in his career. It has been the Texans and the Cardinals.
DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
I was thinking maybe Stephon Diggs, too.
Yeah, no, DeAndre Hopkins. They've had a very similar career. I would have never thought that, but I thought that was interesting to bring up.
Well, now three teams.
Mike Evans crossed my mind for some reason. I don't know why he was stuck, but I don't think he played. Yeah, I just don't think he's played enough.
But before we wrap up this edition of Hot Shots, Dino, what's your final thought?
My final thought is it's the Tampa Bay Rays.
What about
McClanahan? McClanahan gets Tommy John, right? And this is a team that was expected to compete for a World Series. So McClanahan goes down with Tommy John, right? The story breaks about Wander, and Wander Franco is in a world of hurt. I think his career is in jeopardy. I think his life is in jeopardy. I don't mean that like life or death. I mean like the life of what he knows it is in jeopardy. And I think the organization now, this could be a domino effect for this Rays team. This might be the end of how good this organization has been over the last couple of years, because I don't know if you can recover from something like this. McClanahan's done next year. Wander's done. And I made this on a previous podcast, probably, 2 years ago with Trevor Bauer. Mm-hmm. From day one, I said, this dude's never going to pitch a game in the MLB again. Right? So far, it's holding truth. And I feel like with the numbers he's kind of put up, if it hasn't happened yet, it's not going to happen. But I think Wander Franco has put himself, and this is not the first time we've seen this with a professional athlete. I think a year ago we had it with the Pirates guy. A
couple years ago, yeah, Felipe Vasquez.
Felipe Vasquez.
Yeah, so like we're at a problem here, right? And I don't want to beat a dead horse, but you know, this girl was 2 years away from 12 years old, right? There's something wrong in there at that point. So I do think Wander Franco is in a world of trouble. And the fact that he didn't travel with the team says everything I needed to know.
Yeah, if what comes out is true, like, yeah, it's pretty damning and it's pretty bad. Obviously, pretty deplorable, too. And then, you know, even if it comes out as true, or excuse me, even if it comes out as false, he's already lost, like, the public perception battle. Like, it's already out, and everybody's mm-hmm. already made up their mind that this dude's, like, you know, a sicko and a weirdo. So it, even if it comes out and he gets off the commissioner's exempt list like next year, because I think this gets drawn out all through past the World Series, they're not going to make any decision about this until after the World Series. Even if he plays next year, like he's always going to have that perception. Unfortunately, like that's just the way it is in today's society. Even if you're innocent about it, that first perception came out, and it's tough for people to think of you otherwise. But great point about the organization, Dean, that like they've always been one of the most, you know, sound financial organizations, and you know, they do it differently and they find, you know, players that others have discarded. But that was their largest contract in their history. They just hold out. McClanahan, I thought he signed an extension recently. I could be wrong on that, but that's another elbow issue for him too. So like two cornerstones, two young guys that they expected to have for a decade, could be completely done. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, I really didn't even think about that with Houdini, what you just brought up about the organization. I mean, this guy was the face of the franchise.
Only 22 years old.
It's not like you're losing. Yeah, it's not like you're losing your platoon guy. I mean, it's awful what he did, but you're losing the face of your franchise. They just signed this guy to an extension, too, for like 11 years,
yep,
right?
Yep. It was like 11 to like 180. It's the largest contract they've ever gave up.
That's going to be all for us here, though, at Hot Shots. Make sure to follow us on social media if you enjoyed this podcast. If you ever need to keep up to date with your sports news, if you want to hear some cool rankings like we did today, you can go check that out. We ranked the top competitors of all time. You can find us at Hot Shots Podcast on all social media platforms, so subscribe and follow there. But other than that, we'll see you next time.